Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today, this the sixth Sunday of Easter, is our lesson from 1 John chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you should have peace. In the world, you will have affliction. But cheer up, I have conquered the world." I have conquered the world. Didn't look like it on Good Friday, when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Sometimes it doesn't look much like it today when it feels like the church is surrounded by so much unbelief and so many people who don't care about the Lord and His Word and His ways. Jesus said, "I have conquered the world." Well, when I was young, my friends and I used to like to play a game. It was a game called Risk. Anybody recognize that game? Risk. It was a board game, which tells you how long ago that was. But it was a board game, and on the board was a simplified map of the world divided up into regions and continents. And each player had their own color game pieces, and you'd put them on the board, and you have battles with each other by rolling the dice. And the aim of the game was simple. What is the goal of Risk, if you've ever played it? Conquer the world. That's it. That's all there is to it. Conquer the world. It's such a simple idea. Maybe it fits in so well with the human heart, because that's the way we think. Winner takes all. Everything my color. Well, Satan tried that one with our Lord Jesus when he tempted him. And what did he say to him? He said, "All the kingdoms of the world and all their glory and all their power I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Where'd that go? Nowhere. It went nowhere. Our Lord Jesus simply said, and this is how we'd put it in modern English, he said, "Get lost, Satan. Get lost, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." That's Matthew chapter 4. And with those words, we might wonder for a moment, is it possible that there is a difference between owning the world or possessing the world or ruling the world and conquering the world? Is it possible that conquering the world means something different for a child of God, for a Christian person? Well, if you like your history books and you've done any reading about the American Revolution, you know that it is not, or was not, a very pretty picture. To be very honest, our side didn't do all that well. There were a lot of mistakes that were made. There were blunders that were made. There were defeats. There was a lot of inexperience. There were betrayals along the way. And yet, even with all of it, as messy as it was and as many a defeat as there was, historians will make the point invariably, and they will say this: look, as long as George Washington was still alive, and as long as the American army was still there, no matter how small it was and no matter how beat up it was, as long as they were still there, that in itself was a victory. That in itself was a victory. And you know the history. They held out long enough, and they survived the attacks of the enemy long enough to eventually win the victory and start a new nation. We pray for something very similar in the Lord's Prayer, the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer: "And lead us not into temptation, What does this mean? Well, the words of our little catechism go like this. It says, we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil and the world and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief and despair and other great shame and vice. And although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. What is the victory? What does it mean to conquer the world? Does it mean owning the world? Does it mean possessing the world? Does it mean ruling the world? Does it mean making all the world turn your color and making all the game pieces your game pieces? That's a popular theory. There have been folks who tried it out. Napoleon did. Genghis Khan did. Alexander the Great did. Matter of fact, there's a story told of Alexander the Great. He was at a lecture listening to a philosopher talk, and the philosopher had this theory that there's not just our world, but there's other worlds as well, too. And when he said that, Alexander the Great wept. He said, there's so many other worlds, and I haven't even conquered this one yet. And we say, come on. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Or what can you give in return for your soul? And so the words of today's lesson. Everyone having been born from God conquers the world. Now, our version says overcome, but the word is Nike in Greek. You may think of Nike shoes, named after the goddess of victory. But Nike means victory. It means to conquer. It means to conquer. Everyone having been born from God conquers the world. And this is the conquering which has conquered the world, our faith. Who is the one conquering the world except the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What does it say there? Maybe the idea is not so much conquering the world as not being conquered by the world. Not being conquered by the world, still remaining in your faith in the Lord Jesus and his pardon and his cross. Still bound for eternal life, still looking to the Lord no matter what the world around you does or plans or says or throws at you. Still wanting things to be the Lord's will. The Lord's way, the Lord's direction, what pleases the Lord, whether that's in thought or word or deed. It's like the old song. How does it go? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Jesus, of course, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Or the other old hymn, Lord, keep us steadfast. Keep us steadfast in your word. Keep us, Lord, like George Washington and his ragtag little army. We may be in bad shape and things may be seeming like everything's going downhill, but we're still here. We're still here, and we still have our Lord Jesus. Of course, that's going to take a miracle, because it is not in you to stay the course. It is not in me to stay the course, and it is not in you and me to stay steadfast. And it is just Christian wisdom, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if anyone thinks that they stand, let them take heed lest they fall. Going back to the history books, historians will tell you that in the Revolutionary War, the greatest defeat of American arms was the Battle of Long Island, of all places. The Battle of Long Island. Our army was on Long Island, the British Army was on Long Island, and our army was soundly defeated by them in every way, and they had to retreat very rapidly. The only problem was is that they were on Long Island. Where do you retreat if you're on an island? They were pushed up against the East River, and that was between them and the island of Manhattan, where they could retreat to for safety, at least for the moment. But what were they going to do? Well, they came up with a daring plan, and the plan was this. They were going to get small boats and ferry what was left of their army across the East River at night. And they began to do that in dead silence, back and forth, back and forth. If you've ever been there, it's a fair distance, and there's a lot of currents that go back and forth. It's all city now. It was woods back then. But they ferried their army back and forth in dead silence all night long. The only problem was it started to get light out. The dawn started to break, and they were nowhere near done. And if the British Army had seen what they were doing, they would have attacked instantly, and that would have been that, and that would have probably basically been the end of the Revolutionary War. But then something happened that nobody in living memory who lived in those parts had ever recalled happening. As they were trying to get their army across, a fog rolled in down the East River. Fog rolled in, very thick fog, covered the entire American operation. The British could not see what was going on, and they did not attack. And the American army got safely across to Manhattan, across the East River, with George Washington in the last boat. Now, people who saw it, they quote them, people who saw it said that was a miracle, nothing short of a miracle. We never saw anything like that ever happen before, and maybe it was a miracle. But whether it was or whether it wasn't, the fact remains for you and for me, for us Christian people, that we need a miracle. We need a miracle to get us across the river, to get us across the river to be together with the Lord. And you've had actually a number of miracles that have happened for you. The miracle of Jesus' death paid for your sin. The miracle of his resurrection promises that you have a place prepared for you. The miracle of his ascension into heaven means he's gone to prepare that place for you. The miracle of your baptism means that you have the Holy Spirit to do something that you couldn't do before, and that is believe in the Lord Jesus and trust in him. The miracle of Holy Communion gives you his true body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can know your sin is gone and that you have life together with the Lord. St. John talks about it in today's lesson. He says, this is the one having come through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not in water only, but in water and in blood. And the Spirit is the one bearing witness because the Spirit is the truth. Water, baptism, blood, the blood of Christ shed on the cross and given to you in Holy Communion. And the Holy Spirit, he testifies in your heart that Jesus is the Savior. Miracle after miracle that God does for his children. And what do you say? We say, praise the Lord. But you also say, Lord, you know what? Knowing where I live and knowing who I am, I need one more miracle. One more. Sixth petition. Lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil and the world and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. Look, let somebody else own the world. They can own it if they want. Let somebody else possess the world. Let somebody else rule the world. For you and me, it is just the opposite. We don't want those things. We know what conquering is. We don't want to be owned by the world. We don't want to be possessed by the world. We don't want to be ruled by the world and its ways. Instead, this is what we say. Everyone having been born from God conquers the world. And this is the conquering which has conquered the world, our faith. Who is the one conquering the world? Except the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.